Peter, difficult to say much about the matter because I think we're still waiting for a ruling from the judge, which is coming up on Tuesday next week. But suffice to state the following, that in the first place, as far as we're concerned, we are more concerned in the health and life of Dr. Muluzi. The illness that he's suffering from is quite critical because I think it involves his back, lip disc, and I think he has had several operations on it. And this was sustained during the 2004, political campaign. So what he has in his backside are actually plates that are holding together his spine. And I think it is long overdue now. It should have gone for an operation. I think it was delayed. He now has serious difficulty in walking. He cannot stand. I mean, he cannot sit in one place straight for a long time. And he had the initial, schedules for last week. And what we were made to understand was subject to what the doctor was going to prescribe. He was either going in for a straight operation, depending on what the CAT scans were going to reveal, or something was going to happen to actually correct the current malfunctioning spine. And it was presented before the two court sessions that were held before Justice Kamambe, where a specific application was made. And this was not objected to by the ACB. The two defense and actually the prosecution agreed. And then the matter was also taken through to the next judge, Judge Potani. And I think the specific application was made. The ACB did not object to it. And actually they agreed on tentative dates when the two matters would come up for mention. And I think the dates that were being touted at that time were about the 10th August. And it was surprising that through an anonymous call, a chain reaction of legal actions were also taken against what was initially agreed upon by two judges. So that has remained a puzzle. So we're saying that we're more interested in the life and the health of the former president. I think it is also in the interest of those that are prosecuting him for the cases that the person should be healthy and that the person should be alive. We would not really be dealing with a person who is not able to stand trial due to ill health. So we're saddened, and indeed in extreme sense, very saddened, and we feel sorry about it. We cannot say much because the matters are sub judice in the present moment.
If there's an agency in the treatment of the former president, why wouldn't he simply sign the bond so he could make his medical trip?
Let me say this. I initially began my wanting to take part in the interview by a disclaimer that this is a legal matter. I think the area or the subsequent legal actions of requiring a bond and withdrawing a passport were obtained ex parte. It was not done inter partes. I'm sure if the good intentions were demonstrated through inter partes, or if the good intentions were demonstrated through the defense and the prosecution sitting down and talking about it, probably the lawyers or anybody else would have looked at it differently. Look, my argument is social and it's also administrative. But this was done ex parte. This was done born from an anonymous call. This was done with full knowledge of the former president. I mean, he is the former president. The international community or the U.S. or the U.K. has extradition treaties with Malawi. And he has never wanted to run away, and he would not run away. He's not a small person like possibly some of us may be or other persons may be. He would not actually disappear into smithereens or find himself away. So I think that aspect should be borne in mind. Particularly more so, Peter, that the train of events and the chain reaction is set by an anonymous caller. So we need a going through this process. And if you're talking of just sign a bond, obviously if the goalposts have changed, I think it is only in good, it is only in the interest of justice that any administrative action which is being taken subsequent to area agreements or to area court rulings should also have been properly informed to the person who is affected. And I think our constitution does say that, does insist that if the state or anyone else would take administrative action against a person, that person must be informed, must be duly informed about it. So if it comes from without, then probably that sends in a shocking message. I think that should be the ultimate shocker in the current incident. Worse still, I am not quite familiar with what arguments the defense lawyers have put in. But from a political stance, it brings in a bit of remorsefulness from the person who is concerned. And I don't think I'd want to comment further on this matter.
The ACB says that the tip-off is currently under investigation to find out the authenticity or the accuracy of the tip-off.
Peter, let me say it for a fact that when the former president leaves Malawi, he's accompanied by government security detail. And all along the route, wherever he's going, it's government to government. The government does indicate that a former president is traveling and living in that country and is looked after by the security of that country. I think that is the common practice and common protocol all over for all retired presidents. And I think this is not new. So I would be personally as an individual, but probably as a party, we have said, look, if there was indeed an anonymous caller, he should have been treated with a lot of contempt because that anonymous caller should have been so ignorant of what happens when a former president is traveling. Even a minister or a government official, when he's traveling, it's all government right through. It's all government. Government actually hand over to one another, for example, from Malawi via South Africa, from South Africa to the UK. It's government. It's a chain reaction that runs through a government rail. So I think everybody else would have looked at it with a lot of suspicion that if indeed there was an anonymous caller, it must have been a malicious call. If indeed there was a person who was talking about it, it means he had very little knowledge about the kind of person that Dr. Mhuzi is. He would not run away. Even if he had wanted, attempted to run away, he would not hide because he's a former president. He's so conspicuous. His visibility is very bright. And I don't think he would be the kind of person that would walk away. Even if he had wanted to, he hasn't got that freedom to be able to sneak out and hide elsewhere. It would not be possible to do so. So I think if there was an anonymous call, let it be said, it would be so, it is malicious. But that the ACB and the other government agents have wanted to investigate, I hope the investigation will yield something and somebody will be held accountable for it. Because I think we tend to look at this a lot of contempt. But would not deny the right of government to investigate it. So wish. But probably what became amiss was the fact that it was a shocker out of the blue that possibly a certain train of actions were actually driven by the same.